Today is an important day for us as a church because we're talking about something that at first it doesn't seem like it's really exciting, and I'm not even sure I can do a good enough job making it exciting. But today we're going to talk about deacons. We're going to talk about what a deacon is. We're going to talk about the role that they play. The scripture talks about two distinct offices in the church. One of those is a pastor or an elder. The other of those is the office of a deacon, and so it's pretty important. And the reason that we're talking about this, and the reason that this is so important for you as a church family, is because God has given you the task and the responsibility to make sure that we find the right kind of men to serve in our deacon body. And so this is important for you because you play a big part in that. You play the role in that in selecting these men. Now, if you grew up in church, depending upon the church that you grew up in, you've probably heard of the term deacon. You may have even known a deacon. You may not be sure who they are or what they do. Maybe you saw them every once in a while pass out the Lord's Supper. But other than that, you're like, what does a deacon do? What are you guys up to? How does all of that work? And so that may be you if you grew up in the church. If you didn't grow up in the church, or you're new to church, the idea of a deacon simply means servant. That's what the word translated deacon is. It means a servant. And that's what they do. They serve the Lord by taking care of the physical and spiritual needs of the church. They're servants. But not only are they servants, they also protect against the for the doctrine of the Christian faith. In other words, they protect our faith. They protect our doctrine. They make sure that there's no false doctrine or false teaching that comes into the church. And the other thing that deacons do, the role that they play and the reason they're so important, is because they help promote and protect the unity of the church. And so a deacon is a big deal. It's a big deal in our church. They not only serve and help take care of some of the physical needs and spiritual needs that we have as a church, but they also help protect the church unity and also help in the way of keeping the doctrine pure. And you can be proud of the fact that the deacons in our church see themselves as servants. I can't say that about every deacon, and I can't say that about every church that I have served, but our deacons are servants. They visit the sick, they visit the hospitals, they take care of our shut-ins, people who are members of our church but can no longer attend physically church anymore. One of the things we do as a deacon body is we take the Lord's Supper to visit our shut-ins. I did that this past Monday, took the Lord's Supper to a lady in our church who's a shut-in. Very meaningful time, but that's one of the other things that we do. And so deacons are a huge help to me as a pastor, help to us as a staff, because I'm not Superman and I can't be everywhere and do everything and do all things like that. But these guys are great because they come along and help me with the pastoral ministry of the church. And I'm so grateful to them for all of their help. And because they serve so well, I can spend my time doing the things that I need to be doing. The things like preparing to teach and preach like I do 3 or 4 times a week. Praying. Asking the Lord what's going on for our church and the direction that He wants us to go. So that's what a deacon does. Now, in some churches, deacons function more like a board where they govern things and they're like a governing body. In churches like that, they sort of run the church or they oversee the church. And I have been a part of churches that have been run by deacons. But just so you know, that's not biblical. That's not what a biblical deacon is supposed to do or the job of a deacon. The job of a deacon is to be a servant. They don't run the church. They don't oversee the church. That's the responsibility that God has given to me as the pastor, okay? So when we think about deacon, here's pretty much a formal definition. A deacon is an individual who meets certain character requirements and is set apart by the church. That's what makes a deacon separate from every other kind of servant. A lot of you guys have been showing up early on Sunday morning to help get the church ready for services and for the people to come. You guys are great at doing that. Deacon is different because they meet certain character requirements and they are set apart by the church in order to handle some specific things. Now, where do we get that? Well, we get that from the book of Acts. And if you have a Bible and you want to follow along, we're going to be in the book of Acts. A-C-T-S. As a kid, I thought it was A-X-E, like awesome, get to see stuff happen. And you do see stuff happen, but it's A-C-T-S, it's not A-X-E. Acts chapter 6. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Acts, also wrote the book of Acts, which talks about the early church. And at this time, the message that Jesus has rose from the dead and the message of Jesus is getting out, and more people are embracing the message of Jesus, embracing his death and resurrection, embracing who he was. And at that time, the church was made up primarily of Jews, and the people were embracing Jesus and coming into the church, and the church was growing and growing and growing. And within the church, there were two groups of Jews. There was one group of Jews called the Grecian Jews. Those were Jews that lived outside of Jerusalem. They bought into the Greek culture and Greek language. Then you had another group of Jews that all made up the same church, another group of Jews called the Hebraic Jews. Those were the ones that spoke Hebrew, spoke Aramaic. They stayed, you know, true to the Jewish culture and those kind of things, tradition. And so you had these two groups of people and the church, and here's what was happening. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. It says, in those days, Luke's telling us about what happened. He said, in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, people were following Jesus, the Hellenistic Jews, or the Greek Jews, Grecian Jews, among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So these Hellenistic Jews are like, dude, you guys are passing out food, but our ladies, our widows, they're not getting the food. And so you're distributing to all of the other people, but our ladies are being overlooked. We need you to fix this. And so here's what they did. Verse 2. So the 12, that is the 12 apostles, gathered all the disciples, the followers of Jesus, together, and they said, it wouldn't be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. And so we need to focus in on teaching. We need to focus in on these things. Look at what it says in verse 3. Brothers and sisters, verse 3. Yeah, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you. And so they go about choosing these people. But Luke tells us the reason that this was so important is because here was this problem in the church. There were widows being overlooked, and the apostles at that time were spending their time doing what they needed to be doing, which was focusing on the preaching and the teaching and the gospel and praying and all that kind of stuff. And so they basically said, look, we need you guys to step up to the plate and help us because that's important and that needs to be done, but we can't do everything. So we need you to step up and help us. And if you guys can help take care of that, then we can focus in on the things that we need to focus on. And so here was their solution, and here's sort of what they came up with, and here's where the idea of deacon comes from. He says, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be, watch this, full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. So these guys said, you guys take care of the physical needs, that frees up to take care of the spiritual things. And so they set apart these 7 guys within the church to be able to take care of needs. And everybody's like, man, that's a great idea. So here's what they did, verse 5. This proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, who is the first deacon, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And then he mentioned some other guys that they chose. And then verse 6, they presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid hands on them. So that is the scriptural basis for where we get this idea of a deacon and being a servant. Here's the problem. We don't know, other than that one verse, we don't know a whole lot about what they do. And so if you're here and you're like, I don't know what you guys do, that's okay, because the scripture is not real clear on what a deacon does. But here's what it is real clear about. It is real clear about the kind of person that a deacon is supposed to be. It is very clear about the kind of person we're to look for. It is very clear about the kind of individual that we are to look for, that we are to talking about, the Scripture's talking about a person and who he is, the character of the deacon. The office of the deacon, like the office of the pastor, the office of a deacon is reserved for those who meet certain character qualifications, which means, watch, God cares more about the character of the person than he does their job, their responsibilities, their job description. And so Scripture is very clear. Here's who these men should be. Here's what they should be made of. These are the kind of people that they should be and that they must be in order to honorably serve the Lord. And the emphasis of the Scripture seems to be that if you choose the right kind of men, they're more than likely to do the right kind of things. Now, if you have a Bible, again, you're in Acts. Turn to the right to the book of 1 Timothy, just a couple of books over. 1 Timothy chapter 3, because here the Apostle Paul gives us some insight into the kind of guys that these men should be. He's writing to Timothy, who is pastoring a church, and he in Ephesus, and so he's saying, here's the kind of guys that you need to look there, look for. And in these verses, he basically says that deacons, watch, deacons should be marked by really one word, and that's godliness. It doesn't mean they're blameless, and it doesn't mean they're perfect. That's not what that means. It means that they're love God and they love the church and they want to serve Him. And so they marked by godliness. They want to live holy lives and have godly lives. And here he talks about some of the pastors and elders and some of the things you're to look for in those guys. And then he mentions deacons. And again, I want us to walk through this real quickly because this is going to be some of the things that we're going to ask you to prayerfully consider as you think about who to nominate to be a deacon. And so we want to kind of walk through this and help you to see the kind of man that you're looking for. Notice what he says. We'll begin in verse 8. He's talking about deacons. And he says, in the same way, deacons are to be, he's talking about their character, worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must hold to the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, or your translation may say examined. And then, if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. Verse 11, in the same way, the women or their wives are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. Verse 12, a deacon must be faithful to his wife, or your translation may say the husband of one wife, must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served will gain an excellent standing and a great assurance in their faith in Jesus. Now, let's go back real quick, just sort of do a deep dive. Verse 8, he says, these men are to be worthy of respect. What does that mean? That means that he has to have a good reputation, that he has to be known for being a decent man, not just known in the church, but also known in the community outside. So he has to be worthy of respect. He has to be sincere. In other words, this is an individual that has to be a man of his word. He has to be a man of integrity. He can't say one thing to this group and then go across the church and say another thing to another group. He has to be a man of his word. Your translation may say double-tongued. Not indulging in much wine. That means he exercises self-control. He doesn't pursue dishonest gain. That means he's not greedy. He's a generous person and a generous giver. He holds, verse 9, to the deep truths of the faith. What does that mean? That means he understands and holds to the teachings of the church and the teachings of the faith. Verse 10, notice what he says here. They must be tested or examined. And then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. He says, let them be closely examined. In other words, a person who is a potential deacon, we have the responsibility to examine their life. That's not being judgmental. That's not being critical. That's just being a responsible church member. We're to examine their life. We're to look and see how they live their life and examine their faithfulness. Are they growing spiritually? Are they committed to the church? Do they attend church? Are they a part of the church's ministry? Do they support the church financially? All of these things we need to factor in to thinking about who could be a potential deacon, because it is a big deal. And the reason we're not this morning just going to hand out slips of paper and have you put a couple of names on there is because we want you to understand this is a big deal, and you and I have an important responsibility to making sure we help find the guys that God is calling out to serve as a deacon. If they're married, they don't have to be, but he says if they are, verse 11, that their wives are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, temperate, trustworthy, and everything. And then he says a deacon must be faithful to his wife. Your translation may say the husband of one wife. And I'll just tell you, there's a lot of debate about these verses in the church world. It's difficult to understand exactly what Paul meant. You kind of have to put the Greek together to kind of get an idea of what he means. Some think that he should only be married to one woman, and that's because polygamy was pretty popular at the time. Some say that he's talking about divorce, which is absolutely possible because divorce was rampant in those days. Other people tend to think that he's talking about marital faithfulness, and that is how I and our deacon body interpret this passage, because what it seems to mean from what we understand from what the Greek text says, and most scholars seem to agree with that, is that this is a phrase that means that a man is faithful to his wife. And so just say all of that to say there's lots of different ways to interpret this phrase, the husband of one wife. And then it says, manages his children and household well. It doesn't mean his children have to be perfect. It doesn't mean his family doesn't struggle, but it does mean that he provides spiritual leadership to his family, setting a godly example, encouraging them and the things of God. So those are the qualifications, character qualifications of a deacon, and what a church is to look for in selecting these guys. And as we prayerfully walk through this season, what we're doing is asking the Lord, God, reveal to us those who you are calling to serve as a deacon in our church. And so we must examine their life, we must examine their character, their faithfulness, their integrity, their heart for God. Basically, we're looking for a guy who loves the Lord Jesus and who loves the church. And that's a tall order, isn't it? That's a tall order, and it should be, because this is a serious thing that the Lord is calling us to do. Now, our church is in the process of selecting deacons, and again, we want to give you the opportunity to be a part of it. So if you're a church member, you're probably handed one of these. If you'll pull this out real quick, let me walk through this, because this is going to be yours to take. If you didn't get one, if you'll raise your hand, we'll make sure you get one. Gary, could you hand some of those out to Jordan? If you need some, others, just raise your hand. Just keep your hand up. We'll make sure that we get you one. There's some right over here. Yeah, just keep your hand up high. We'll make sure that we get it to you. Make sure everybody has one. Thank you for your patience in this. So you'll notice at the top, it says, thank you for taking the time to complete a deacon recommendation. This is an important thing and not to be taken lightly. And so what we're going to ask you to do as a deacon body and as a staff is to prayerfully consider, as you walk through this recommendation and evaluation, based on what you understand and what you know of the person and the qualifications of the office. We're going to ask you as a church member to complete this and nominate another church member. And what we'd ask you to do is not call them and say, hey, I think you're a good dude, I'm going to nominate you. Try not to do that. But just go ahead and make this recommendation, and if you'll complete it and return it in about another month or so, we'll walk through that. Anyway, Article 4, Section 5 of our bylaws say that deacons are to be servants of the church in accordance with the meeting of the Word and the practice of the New Testament. The task of the deacon shall be to assist the pastor in performing pastoral duties as outlined in Scripture. And then those are the two verses that we looked at. So what you'll do is you'll put the name of the deacon nominee, the person you're nominating, and then you'll put your name. And then we're going to ask you to answer all of these questions. If there's a question that you don't know the answer to, then just put I don't know or not applicable or whichever you would prefer. Let me walk through this qualifications, because I want you to understand who we're looking for, the kind of person that we as a church are looking for. Is the nominee saved? Has they give their life to Jesus Christ? And are they a recent convert? In other words, we're not looking for brand new Christians. We're looking for folks who have been followers of Jesus for a while. Do you believe that he would uphold the NBC Constitution in its entirety? Do you consider him to be spiritually mature, able to make wise, biblically sound decisions? Is he above reproach, affording nothing in his moral character that can be attacked on the backside? Because the deacon and his family are to be models for the congregation and have greater expectations than other families in the church, we feel it's wise to choose deacons who demonstrate marital and family faithfulness. Does this nominee meet this requirement? Now, someone says, well, what about a guy who's been divorced? And I'll just let you know right up front, that does not necessarily say mark them off as a candidate. If a person has been divorced, if a man's been divorced, we take those situations on a case-by-case basis. There's a lot of different things that go into that, and so we want to make sure if you're thinking about nominating somebody and you think he's divorced, go ahead and put him down on there, and we will follow through with that. But that doesn't automatically disqualify somebody from serving, okay? That's where we are as a church. That's our stance as a deacon body as well. Does he manage his family well, assuming his responsibility as a spiritual leader? Do his children respect and obey him, not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient? Are his children believers? Is his wife worthy of respect, not a malicious talker, reasonable and trustworthy? Do you know him to be sincere, reasonable, self-controlled, and disciplined? In dealing with others, is he respectful, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not quarrelsome, not violent, not maintaining a good reputation inside and outside the church? Is he hospitable and a lover of what is good according to Scripture? Is he generous with his money, not focused on the acquisition of wealth? And does he obtain all of his money in an honest and straightforward manner? Is he a man known for sound scriptural doctrine, able to encourage those who don't understand and refute those who oppose it? Do you believe he is a man who holds firmly to biblical truth with a clear conscience, no matter the cost to him personally? Is he able to teach? Can you recommend that he be considered for deacon without any reservation? And do you believe he has been sufficiently tested in his Christian walk and has demonstrated that he is fully qualified to serve as a deacon according to Scripture? Now, that's a lot, isn't it? But what I want you to understand is how important this is. This isn't the good old boy system. This is a serious task that we have as a church family. The very first church that I pastored before I went out there, they were in the process of selecting three deacons. And they decided they were going to wait until they called me as the pastor to go out there and then, you know, kind of let me talk with them and follow through with this deacon, with these guys. So a couple months went by, I was there. They said, hey, we've got these deacons in waiting. We need you to talk with them. I said, okay, I'll go and talk with them. And I sat down with each of them individually, and I just asked them some basic questions, just basic questions. Relationship with the Lord, relationship with the church, relationship with the family, those kind of things. So I went back to the next deacon's meeting, and they said, hey, what'd you think about our deacons? And I said, well, I have a problem with all three of them. I said, I don't think any of them ought to be deacons. Well, how come? And I laid out all of my reasons why. And here's what they said. Well, we know these guys. These are good old boys, and we think they'll do a great job. Within 3 months, all three of those guys resigned as deacons. And the church and the chairman of the deacon came back to me at that time, and he said, we should have listened to you. All of that to say this, we're not looking for good old boys. Okay? We're not looking for guys that you like. Even if there's a guy that you don't like, but you think he might be a halfway decent deacon, go ahead and nominate him. This is a big deal for us as a church. That's why we're taking the time to walk through it. So here's what we're going to ask you to do, okay? We're going to ask you to take this and spend the next few weeks praying. We're going to start doing that here in just a moment. Just spend the next few weeks praying and ask the Lord, who are you calling to be a part of this? And then we're going to ask you to bring this back by Sunday, January the 9th. All of that information is on the back here. We're going to ask you to bring it back, and then the deacon body now, our servants now, will walk through this process and eventually bring some guys to you for your final approval. Okay? Now, before we pray and I send you out of here with this, I want to recognize our current deacons so that you know who they are. And the reason I want to mention them and have them stand and you notice them is so you'll know not to nominate them. Those of you that went to Texas A&M, that means don't put their name down because they're already deacons. Okay? So, let me mention these guys. Josh Conklin, he's our chairman. Patrick Davis, he's in the back doing sound booth stuff. Dustin McDonald, I don't think they're able to make it today. Brian Conger. Mike St. Clair. Greg Barnes. Ernest Likens in the back there. Martel Souter. Steve Weir. Larry Rawlings, right back there. And then Dale Shaw, back in the back. These here are the guys that have a love for you and a love for the church and are here to serve you. But I wanted you to know who they are and go ahead and let them know how much you appreciate them and all that they do. Absolutely. Okay, so if you'll just take this home with you. Pray about it, and then in a few weeks, just bring this back. But I just want us to begin praying today. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to just bow your head and close your eyes. And just in the quietness of this moment, let's just begin by talking to the Lord about this process, about our part in it. Ask God to give us wisdom and discernment on who needs to fill this office.